When digital media replaces book reading, when a society neglects scripture, when a nation forgets its God, then a new dark age emerges. That's an age devoid of freedom, stability, and prosperity. Today, we continue our conversation with a biblical literacy advocate and invite you to join in the battle for truth. You see, if more of us would commit to and submit to the parenting principles and the mandates that we find in the Bible, the way we raise our kids would look a lot different, and the way our nation looks will be affected for the better. We'll talk about biblical ignorance next on License to Parent. And welcome to License to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long residential program helping troubled teens turn their lives from the bondage of the world to freedom found in Christ. And these are teens that will be future leaders. The founder and director of Shepherd's Hill is also the host of License to Parent, Trace Embry, and I'm the faithful sidekick, Rich Rozzle. Our guest once again this week is Tim Barton. Tim is a speaker for Wall Builders, a national pro-family organization that presents America's forgotten history and heroes with an emphasis on our religious, our moral, and our constitutional heritage. And Trace, we left off last time talking about how the next generation really needs to have a vision to engage culture in order to preserve our godly heritage, because this really affects everything, and that includes the free enterprise system.
Yeah, the free enterprise system seems to take a big hit, and the people who don't know their history have got to come to grips with the fact that capitalism did pretty darn good for the first 200 years of this nation's history. It wasn't until we took the moral component out of the equation that capitalism became a bit of a problem. And the other thing is, you know, I think some of the leaders, whether it be Obama or Bush
servants,
or Clinton.
Not leaders, servants. Servants.
take a hit when really, you know, they're just emblematic of a citizenry that's gone astray. I just think that's important to note, that we are a nation in decline largely because we don't know Scripture and we don't obey what we do know about Scripture.
Well, let me welcome our guest Tim Barton back with us. Tim, your thoughts on this?
I think there's two really important points to what you just said. You're absolutely right. We, the people, elected them, but one of the things to keep in mind is that only about a third of the American people vote in a presidential election. And so you're talking about one-sixth of the American people that elect the president. And the leaders that we have don't necessarily reflect the American people. They reflect the people that voted in the last election.
That's, there you
and
go. Yeah.
This is where, as Christians, we have such a hard time because less than half of Christians are even registered to vote. Mm. Half of the Christians that are registered vote. So really, you have about a quarter of Christians that vote in any given election. But this last election was a great example where we had the highest Christian voter turnout that we've had in 25 years. And we voted to legalize homosexual marriage. We voted for abortion. We voted for marijuana. We voted for physician-assisted suicide in several states. It was like we checked our brains at the door when we went to the polls. Because as Christians, if we have the highest Christian voter turnout, how in the world are we voting wrong on these issues? And it goes back to the point that what we do and what we think doesn't reflect biblical positions. We now are redefining our faith according to our whims, where in the Bible, the book of Judges, it talks about how all the people did what was right in their own eyes.
Right.
And that's exactly what we're seeing in our nation, and even worse is what we're seeing inside of Christianity, mm-hmm. where we are redefining God's standards to fit our own thoughts and desires, where we're saying, hey, marriage can be between whoever loves anything or anybody else can get married, because that's what marriage is about. Well, no, marriage was a covenant that God established in the Garden of Eden, and it was one man and one woman for life, till death do you part, is the way that God created and God intended and God established. And there's people that say, well, wait a second, Jesus didn't talk about homosexuality, so it must be okay. And that's where you got to pause for a second. Yeah. And as Christians, we don't always think as intelligently as we should. There were a whole lot of things that Jesus never talked about.
He didn't speak about bestiality either.
Well, he didn't talk about kidnapping. He didn't talk about rape. He didn't talk about parenting. Well, if Jesus didn't talk about parenting, then the Bible must not give any guidelines for parenting.
It's ridiculous.
Well, that would be ludicrous to assume, but that's exactly what we do with the issue of marriage. And by the way, the people that say Jesus didn't say anything about marriage, it really shows they don't know the Bible very well, because in Matthew 19, Jesus answered some Pharisees, and he says, for this reason, a man leaves father and mother, joins his wife, the two become one flesh, and what God put together, let no man come against.
Right. Let me jump in here real quick, because we've been talking again about the foundation of the problem, biblical ignorance, a lack of Bible reading, and more than that, a lack of Bible application. But to both of you, how can we help parents turn this around in their homes? You know, parents may say, well, look, you know, we take our kids to Sunday school, we're in church every week, but it needs to be more than that. How do we enact within the home a new process by which families become more adherent to biblical standards? How do we make this real within the home of the believer that thinks we're already doing everything?
Obviously, as parents, we can't uphold the standard for our kids. That's something we say and not live. And so as parents, it has to be something that we make a very dedicated, decided effort to get back into the Bible and know the Bible. One of the things that my family did growing up is we read the one-year Bible together every morning. And that was the way we started our day. We read the Bible together, and then we had prayer. And so my parents helped set the precedent of this is what we do.
Yeah, but wait, Tim. Hold on, Tim. That requires a discipline, buddy. That requires a discipline.
That requires effort. And by the way, that's what parenting is all about.
That's right.
You cannot be a successful parent if you're not willing to bust your tail and put in the labor and effort to do it.
I'm glad you said it.
And by the way, that is why we have so many problems on so many levels, because so many parents are content to let their Xbox or let MTV or VH1 or the Disney Channel raise their kids. And so our kids are learning all kinds of messages that are very anti-biblical.
That's right.
But it's embraced by culture. And so we look at this thing embraced by culture and go, well, this must be fine because it's what everybody I see is doing. And this everybody's accepting it. And we have to help our kids learn to live a biblical standard. You know, there's several things that we see in Scripture. You look at Psalm 119, and it says, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." And one of the things that's vital to do is help our kids memorize Scripture, where have a list of 15 or 20 verses. And parents, you can even incentivize your kids. Say, hey, you memorize a verse, and at the end of the week, however many verses you have memorized, I'll give you $1 for each verse you have memorized.
I agree.
Now, obviously, I'm not talking about bribing our kids, but you are rewarding them for doing something that is eternally significant and valuable. And this would be a great precedent. And by the way, one of the things that my parents actually did that, and they had a list of things, verses, memorize these verses. And verses, obviously, with great practical application of morals, children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. And the first commandment was promise that you would live long and it would go well with you on the earth. Those were things they wanted me to memorize, very practical things that were going to help in parenting, that were going to help me in life and the decisions I made. And what they would do is from week to week, they would keep a list of what I'd memorized. And they would give me $1 for every verse that I learned. And then the next week, I'd come back and say more verses. And they'd say, okay, now tell us these old verses. And if I couldn't remember the old verses, well, I might have to give $1 back because I didn't really memorize that verse. So I only got to keep the dollar if I could remember what the verse said. There are things you can do to help incentivize kids, but ultimately, as parents, we have to set the tone and the example. We have to be the parent, which requires a lot of effort and discipline, and then we can do very practical things to help our kids get into Scripture. Help you can get your kids a study Bible or a story Bible, things to help them learn these lessons, and then you can ask them practical questions at the end of time together of, how do you think that applies to our life? And when you go to school today, how can you take these verses, how can this shape the way that you have a conversation?
It has
the way
to be
you
applicable.
Think thoughts, the way you live, how can this verse apply to your life? Mm-hmm. And as parents, we have to start thinking that way, but we have to help our kids learn to think that way to see the Bible really does apply to the way we live.
Absolutely. You know, it seems that even the heathen knows a little bit about church history. How should parents teach their kids to answer the inevitable questions and objections to Christianity that stem from the horrors of the Inquisitions, the Crusades, the witch trials? That seems to be the only church history that the heathen seems to know. Questions that our kids are going to have to answer, you know, in school, certainly in college. How do we answer that when it makes the church look like we're a bunch of abusers?
Well, I think historically, no one in our history helps, because historically you look at it, and for the first three centuries of Christianity, we did really good. Now, there was intense persecution, but what happened is after the first three centuries, you had kings that came in, and kings, instead of understanding that there was an institutional separation where God created the family, God created the church, and God created government, and those are three separate institutions, even though there is some overlap, what happened is you had kings that came in, and kings began controlling and really determining theology and doctrine of churches. And this is what we saw all over Europe, where kings would come, and the church became a branch of their kingdom. And this was one of the tools they used to accomplish their ends and purposes. The next 12 centuries, what happened is we did not follow biblical principles. We just listened to whatever the king told us and really enforced. And this is where you see widespread illiteracy. Now, this is where knowing our history helps, because this is when you have, you know, all these years and hundreds of years later, this is when the Reformation begins. 1500s, you have the these Reformation theologians coming on, and they point out, hey, we're not following what the Bible teaches. Let's get back to reading the Bible. In fact, this revolutionary thought, let's put the Bible in a common language that people can actually read and understand. Well, this was a incredibly unpopular idea with kings, because they didn't want to lose control and power. But what you saw is that when people began to read and understand the Bible, even when the pilgrims came to America, they said, what the Bible teaches is different than how we are living. We want to get back to what the Bible teaches. And this is where you had so many people that came to America that were fleeing religious persecution, because they wanted to do what the Bible said and not what the king said. And the king was not happy with that. And so the king was punishing and persecuting and executing these guys. And so they're fleeing that persecution to come to America. And so when you look back at these atrocities that happened in the name of Christianity, it's easy to point and say, you know what, that was absolutely wrong. You're right. The people that did that never should have happened. However, these guys were not following biblical principles, and that's why, point to something in the last 400 years that's been a major atrocity in the name of Christianity. You can't. But you know what, I can point to some other religions that have had major atrocities in the name of their religion. I can point to some bombings and some terroristic threats and activity, but you can't do that with Christianity. But it's interesting, people want to continue to attack Christianity, but we don't want to touch these other religions, because that would be insensitive, that would be intolerant, right? But it's okay to beat up on Christians. It's very illogical, but this is where, if we just understand some basic history and you understand the Bible, you can go, hey, what they did was not right.
Right.
That's not what the Bible teaches, and I believe what the Bible teaches, not just what the king or the government tells me.
Wow. Well, I hate to break in like this, but we do have to pause for a moment. More of our conversation with Tim Barton from Wall Builders coming up. This is Licensed to Parent, and we'll be right back. It's difficult to see the light at the end of the tunnel when you're face-to-face with a teenager who argues with you at every turn. Maybe you and your teen can't talk to one another about anything without it getting complicated. For nearly two decades, Shepherd's Hill Academy has been bringing healing to teens and families from around the world. Up until now, that help has come through its residential treatment facility in North Georgia. But now, your family can benefit from that experience at home through Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching, designed to help you discern God's will for your family, build good communication skills, deal with defiant children, and more. Our family coaching team will work with you by phone, in your home, at work, even while you're on the road, to help your family develop a game plan to succeed. Sign up for Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching today by visiting licensedtoparent.org. Live the family life your family was designed for. Click on the family coaching banner at licensedtoparent.org. Teen rebellion, depression, addiction, rage, cutting, and suicide are destroying our families today. But there is a way out. Shepherd's Hill Academy offers a 12-month, Christ-centered, nonprofit residential program where kids are being transformed with a biblical worldview and often medication-free. Christian apologist Ravi Zacharias is just one of many Christian leaders who understands what's happening at Shepherd's Hill Academy.
It really is such an honor to come alongside Shepherd's Hill Ministries and Licensed to Parent to rescue those who have been seduced along the way. I cannot gainsay how important this is, and to get behind a ministry like this, one will find the rewards to be extremely powerful in changing society.
Get the help you need at Shepherd's Hill Academy. Go to helpmytroubledteen.org. helpmytroubledteen.org. And welcome back to Licensed to Parent. I'm Rich Rozzle with Trace Embry, founder and director of Shepherd's Hill Academy. And Trace, I have learned something new about the Salem witch trials, and that was it was not Christianity's fault, as modern history would lead us to believe.
Well, you know, I was teaching our kids in chapel one day about this very topic, and I Googled how many witches were actually burned in the Salem witch trials, and I think the number was like 25. You know,
there were 19 that were put to death. There were 27 that died altogether, but 8 of them actually died in prison awaiting the trial.
Yeah, well, there you go. It was minimal compared to 6 million Jews and 20 million.
Well, what's interesting about this, too, is that most people don't know the witch trials also happened in Europe. Mm-hmm. And people know of the deaths that happened up in Salem, but they don't know about the deaths that happened in Europe. Well, here's what's interesting. In Europe, there were over 500,000 people put to death during the witch trials in Europe. And the witch trials in Europe lasted for several years. In America, they only lasted a few months. And the reason was there were three Christian leaders. They went to the governor at the time, Governor Phelps, and they said, Governor Phelps, Judge Sewell, the one doing this trial, he's not following biblical rules of evidence. This isn't right. You've got to stop it. Well, the judge goes, or the governor, rather, Governor Phelps goes and talks to Judge Sewell. He questions Judge Sewell. Judge Sewell realizes what he's done was wrong. They stop the trials after several months into it. They stop the trials. Judge Sewell gets up in his church. He repents in front of his church that what he did was wrong, and the trials stop. Now, what's interesting is it was not biblical Christianity that started the trials, but it was three biblical Christians. It was two ministers and another church leader who said, what's going on is not right and we need to stop it. Christianity is what stopped the trials in America.
You know, we've got this issue. Homosexuality is just really taking over. What should parents teach their kids about the history of cultures that embrace homosexuality as a virtue?
Well, it's interesting. If you ask the question, what culture or what nation has ever embraced homosexuality and maintained a successful, a free, or a thriving nation, whether we're talking about economically or mm-hmm. what we're talking about, and you cannot point to a single nation that historically has embraced homosexuality and remained. And I think, being someone who believes the Bible, I would point to the Bible and see that, well, God doesn't bless that activity. God doesn't bless that behavior. And when you openly embrace that and reject God, you just go to Romans 1. And where it talks about they rejected the Creator and embraced creation. They embraced lies, and they didn't want to follow the truth of what the Creator set up anymore. Anytime a culture does that, God's hand of blessing is removed, and so depravity runs rampant, and because of that, they become very susceptible to destruction. And this is what you've seen historically with every single nation. Going back to the point, the reason God told the Israelites in the Old Testament, the reason we have the commands that we see from Jesus or Paul or Peter or James in the New Testament is everything God has called us to do as Christians, he called us to do for our benefit and our good. Now, that doesn't mean we enjoy everything God told us to do, mm-hmm. but you go back to the Old Testament, when God spoke to the Israelites, and God told the Israelites he wanted them to do things differently. You read, whether it be in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, when God establishes a new structure for the way he wants them to live, it's because they've just left secular Egypt, and leaving secular Egypt, all the Israelites were thinking just like the secular nation they just left. And so God is having to teach them, we're not going to do things the way you used to do things. And everything that God told the Israelites to do, he told them to do for their good and for their benefit. Where he says, hey, I want you to cook the food before you eat it. Don't start eating raw animals. I want you to wash your hands with running water. If someone is sick and unclean, I want you to keep them outside the camp so everybody else doesn't get contaminated with the sickness. Everything God told them to do was for their benefit, but it was very contrary to the culture in which they lived. But following that line of logic, if what God has called us to do is what is the most beneficial, then you can just look at the fact that everything that God does produces life, and it's not of God, it produces death. And this is just what you see throughout Scripture. Well, you look at heterosexual couples, If you have two couples that are virgins until they get married and they stay committed to each other in union until they die, you know that couple's not going to have to deal with STDs.
Right.
You know that couple statistically is going to live a longer, happier life than someone who is very promiscuous, involves in all kinds of fornicative behavior, whether that be heterosexual or homosexual.
Right.
It doesn't matter. When you do not submit or you disobey God's standards, then you deal with the consequences. And it's not just that there is a punishment because you've sinned and sin separates you from God. It's not just that separation punishment. There is a very real physical consequence to that action.
Right.
And when you don't do it God's ways, you deal with the physical response of sin in your life, which the Bible says the wages of sin is death, and that's not just a spiritual separation. That can be emotional. That can be physical. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of ways that reveals itself. But this is where everything that God told us to do is for our benefit. And this is where, as Christians, this is what the Bible teaches, and this is why we have to get back to what
That's
the Bible
right.
says.
Tim, back in the Middle Ages, we entered a period of time that was often also referred to as the Dark Ages. I know that term is sort of falling out of favor among those in the education league, but do you see our nation headed back into a Dark Age? And if so, do you see it as something that we can possibly turn away from and inject some light back into?
That's a great question. The Dark Ages was primarily known as the Dark Ages, not just because of the spiritual depravity, not just because of the disease. But one of the things about the Dark Ages is there was widespread illiteracy. Very few
Yes.
people could read. And when you can't read, it's hard for you to be educated. And one of the things we see in our nation today is we have more information and technology at our fingertips than that's ever been available in any time in history. I mean, there is more information now for kindergarten students than we could even imagine. But the problem is, in our culture, we often think that information is the same thing as knowledge.
Right.
And just because people have a lot of information doesn't mean they have a lot of knowledge. And that's where most of our culture is. We are becoming an information-saturated, ignorant culture.
Well, I say they have knowledge. It's useless knowledge. What they don't have is wisdom.
Well, and that's true, too. But wisdom oftentimes is the application of knowledge.
That's exactly right.
If you don't have knowledge, then you can't even make a wise decision about it.
Mm-hmm.
Where today, for instance, you look at the global warming issue. Where why are we now calling it climate change and not global warming? Well, perhaps because statistically we haven't warmed since 1998.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we have that knowledge? But see, people are making assumptions without having the right knowledge. If you have the knowledge, you can have the application of wisdom and go, well, then wait a second. Perhaps it's just that we're falling in line with what has always been, that the earth cycles. It goes hot
right.
and cold and hot and cold. Every 20 or 30 or 40 years, there's a shift because of what the earth does. Well, perhaps that's the way God made it. Instead, mm-hmm. we're trying to blame it on man. Well, this goes back to, we are getting so much information where people are hearing over and over and over again, global warming, man-made, global warming, global warming. That's a lot of information, but that's not truth. So we don't have the right information. We don't have the right knowledge, and therefore we're not able to make these wise decisions. And I think this is where our culture very much can be a reflection of the Dark Ages, unfortunately, is that we don't have a lot of knowledge. And part of the reason, too, I think we can point to education. You look at education today and the way it used to be. It used to be an education that we wanted to help kids learn how to think and process information.
Yeah, not just what to think, but how to think.
Well, exactly. Where apologetics was a really big deal, and there's entire courses we have that it actually was designed around ambiguous questions that you would ask just to help kids learn the apologetics of an argument, of how you argue for this side, and now how do you argue for this side. And really, it's learning to think and process information.
Right.
And today, our kids go through, and we have a multiple choice test. We have a true false test. We have all these
yeah.
things that really all we want our kids to do is regurgitate what the teacher told you. We don't want you to think about the information. We don't want you to learn how to process information, how to determine what is right and wrong, how to weigh and value things. And because of that, we have an entire culture that is extremely gullible, that doesn't know how to process information, that doesn't know how to think, that doesn't know how to go to the root of a problem. We just look at what somebody says, and this is why most people that vote actually vote on a 30-second commercial they saw about the person running for that position. Well, then you were just really gullible, because in 30 seconds, I could make Adolf Hitler look like a hero.
Yeah, well, we're kind of producing Hitler's youth now, aren't we?
Well, and that's really reality of what our schools are doing. We're really encouraging a lot of socialism and communism in our schools, which would, again, dovetail back into the fact that without God, socialism and communism is really the only thing that makes sense.
And the foundations are destroyed.
And that's it. It's only because of God that you can know freedom, but it's only when you follow God's standards that you can enjoy that freedom. Because if you don't follow God's standards, then you are violating someone else's liberties. Mm-hmm. But when you follow God's standards, you can enjoy freedom to the fullest.
Yeah. Well, Tim, we only have a few seconds left here. What final words of counsel can you give our parents concerning the importance of knowing Scripture, history, and civic involvement?
The bottom line is our nation has been the most stable, prosperous, successful nation in the history of the world because we did what God commanded and we followed God's standards. Now, that doesn't mean everything we did in our nation has always been right. It hasn't always been biblical, but we strove to follow the biblical principles that they understood and knew. And the reality is when you do what God blesses, you will be blessed. Mm-hmm. And that's true when you raise kids. That's true when you're in a marriage. That's true if you run a business. And that's true in a nation. Right now, our nation isn't doing what God blesses. And so God can't bless our nation.
Tim, thank you so much for being with us. Tim Barton of Wall Builders, a national pro-family organization, doing its part to try to reintroduce and re-educate us on the history of this nation, and especially the religious, moral, and constitutional heritage. Wallbuilders.com is the website. Tim Barton, our guest. Tim, thanks so much.
It was a pleasure, guys.
God bless you, Tim.
And this is Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long residential program located just north of Atlanta, Georgia. We've been helping troubled teens from all over the world for a number of years now, and here on the radio, we're trying to help parents. To learn more, go to licensedtoparent.org and click on the link to Shepherd's Hill Academy, and you can find out about our program here. Incidentally, if you as a parent need additional help, may I recommend our Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching Program that provides you with one-on-one help with the issues that might be challenging your family. Again, you can learn more and get connected at our website, licensedtoparent.org. And finally, by the way, this is something that we are just offering for the first time. Please remember that our ministry to teens does cost money. And if you could help defray the costs of counselors, teachers, room and board, the general operating costs, through a tax-deductible donation of any size, we would be very grateful. And as our way of saying thanks for any donation that you can make before the end of July, we would like to send you a free copy of the DVD entitled Captivated, Finding Freedom in a Media Captive Culture. Now, part of that was filmed right here at Shepherd's Hill and then addresses the very real problems that families are facing from digital media overload. Again, this DVD is yours free with your gift in any amount before the end of July 2014, and you can give securely at licensedtoparent.org. For Trace Embry, I'm Rich Rosl, inviting you back again next time to renew your license to parent.
And remember, folks, if you don't train your children, somebody else will. God bless you. See you next time.